This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show Series 5, Episode 30. It's all about you. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, well, it's all about you. We had some feedback from a player who decided it was all about him. We talk about Stephen Finn and it's all about him coming back from a loss of form and technique and confidence, and we had a couple of questions about people who want to develop their career as a coach or as a player, and guess what, it's all about self-development. It's all about you on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. It's time for another Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, your guide to coaching or playing better cricket, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. My name's David Hinchliffe, and I'm looking after things on the show. And joining me, as always, on the line this week from what sounds like a very bustling coffee shop, it's Director of Cricket Coaching at Millfield School. It's Mark Garraway. Hello, Garrus.
Hello, everybody.
So where are you, Garrus?
I'm at Carswick this week. I'm taking in a little bit of yachting in the land of my early years. And the weather is presently very sunny, and it's a bustly place, as you can hear.
And you must always enjoy the sun, as we say around here, because you get very little opportunity compared to most places.
Very important, always, mate. So I've got my factor 50 on, and away we go.
Factor 50, what, you just squeeze the bottle and an overcoat comes out?
Well, I still manage to get a bit of colour with that, so I just don't want to get burnt, mate. You know, you've got to take precautions, as every good cricketer does.
Absolutely. Speaking of cricket, I did notice on the social media that you've been knocking about. Did you manage to have a game in the last week?
I've had a couple. I played for an ex-Hampshire Legends 11, which I thought was very good of them to let me into that team. and the following day, I played cricket for... at an event we call Sports Fest, where it's a camping holiday, effectively, at Wormsley Estate, John Paul Getty's estate, and it was two celebrity teams playing against each other, and again, they were lucky enough to have a space for a non-celebrity, so I played in that one. I had slightly different experiences in both. I was man of a match in the first game and got out first ball in the second, so that was good. But I had the pleasure of being captain to Will Greenwood, Martin Johnson, Matthew Hoggard, Pat Cash, John Barnes, many others, which was just absolutely magnificent. Well bowled Barnsley, I've always wanted to say that.
When he has the ball, the crowd do go bananas.
Mate, it was absolutely magnificent. He was a star all week, and the highlight of the whole weekend was him doing World in Motion rap on stage in front of 2,000 people. It was absolutely awesome.
Oh, do you know what? I'd have paid a lot of money to see that.
I think you might be able to find it on online in the next week or so.
I'm definitely going to track that down. Now, we also have someone else on the line who I've stoutly ignored so far. But he's here with us.
Thanks very much for that.
Yes, here with us as always. It's Sam Lavery, the cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. Hello, Lavers.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Have you had such an exciting week as Garrus?
I actually can say I've had an equally successful week as Garrus has done, because I did actually, I was required to play as well, and I also got a first baller, so yeah, very good.
Well, it's a great lever, isn't it, cricket? You know, one day you're the best player in the team, and the next day you're hiding your head in shame, and it's not unique to cricket, but it seems particularly pronounced when you're batting.
Absolutely, it can happen to anyone at any time, and invariably anyone's got a ball in that's good enough to get almost anyone out. So even if you get test cricketer down at club level, I've seen it happen before, and I've seen them get out many a time. So yeah, anything can happen in cricket.
Oh yeah, it's marvellous, isn't it, for a club player, an amateur player, to take on a professional and best him. That's got to be one of the better feelings in the game.
Oh yeah, I'm sure we regularly get a lot of the Hampshire guys who are currently playing league cricket where I am, and it's always a nice scalp to pick up one of those guys, or one of the guys who's had a 10-year career behind them, and yeah, that always gives a bit of a boost to the fielding side. And generally, most of them still play to a pretty high standard, especially it's the batters that seem to last a little bit longer, and they seem to keep churning out the runs.
There's a famous story in my club. It's for a few years ago now, but there was a player playing for the opposition who was a professional player. I can't remember who he was now, a Glamorgan player anyway. And he'd been on an England A tour the previous winter, so he was really on top form. And the young opening batsman on our team, who also bowled a bit of medium pace, was bowling to him, and he got him out, and he gave him a massive send-off saying how rubbish he was and all the rest of it, not realising, knew that he was a professional player, but not realising that he wasn't, even though he was batting up the order in this game, he wasn't actually a batsman, he was a very quick, fast bowler. And he got a few short ones at the start of the other innings in that game.
I wonder who that was then.
I can't remember now, but
what sort of era are we talking?
Oh, probably early 2000s. Anyway, let's move on before we just spend the whole show reminiscing about players we can't remember the names of. And let's talk about our friend Habib. And Habib has been back in touch with us with some feedback. Do you remember a few weeks ago we had a player who was deciding whether to give up the captaincy or not because he was out of form? Remember this one?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, very much so.
Well, he gave his feedback. He came back to us with some feedback saying that he did give up the captaincy. And he scored three consecutive half centuries once he'd packed it in, scoring 588 runs with an average of 32.66 in the league. So he just wanted to thank us and say that it was the right call. And we're giving some good advice. So there's not really much more to add to that apart from a bit of a mutual backslap for everybody. Well done.
Well, he was a very lucky man. He obviously asked us a very good question for us to give him the right answer.
Yeah, that's the key. And I think probably we didn't just say that, if I remember it rightly, we didn't just say, oh, you must give up the captaincy. We just gave him a few options and let him make the decision.
Yeah, and it was the one around the Paul Collingwood example, wasn't it, that I gave in 2008. And it often works, and there's no reason why in a few years' time that captaincy can't go back to that person. There's been some good examples of that in world cricket, and I should imagine that can work in club cricket as well.
Now, another thing that's happened this week in the world of cricket is the return of Stephen Finn to the England fold, which is a good thing to see because he had a quite spectacular loss of the ability to bowl in Australia recently. And he has been on the long road back to recovery. And England are obviously trying to integrate him back into the side as quickly as they can, as soon as he's ready to do that. So that got me to thinking about whether this has happened with any players that you've worked with. We had a player who's had such a spectacular loss of form and technique, and how you go about deciding whether it's a mental thing or a technical thing or some balance between the two, and how you go about rebuilding it.
I've actually worked with a couple of spinners over the years who've had losses of form. However, both of them have actually been batters at the same time. Yeah. Which is a very different situation, obviously, because they've had something to fall back on where they've been able to maintain their place in the side, and they've been able to actually play a pivotal role in the side, actually, despite losing a large chunk of their skill set.
Gareth, have you ever seen this in players, and how do you go about assessing where to go next?
Well, it's a really relevant question, actually. I've got one lad at the moment that's going through exactly the same thing, and it's taken more than 2 months, and we're still in the processes. So work in progress, really, and it's my first experience of coming across something like this. And so I'm learning on the hoof, mate. And it's great to see somebody like Stephen Finn come back from a tricky time in Australia, and hopefully will play in the next Test match, because I think that will give this young man and many others out there a little bit of confidence that it is something that you can get through. It's something that does happen to people, a little speed bump along the way, but it is something that you can get over the top and get back into the side that you've been aspiring to over the many years that you've been practicing. So, yeah, very much work in progress at the moment.
So, I mean, I've never seen this. I've seen players get the yips before, but I've never been involved with helping them get back into it. Where do you start? Do you start by trying to work out whether it's something which is a technical fault or whether it's something that is going on in their head and you have to deal with that? Or do you just go in and start experimenting with things and see what you can find as you go along?
Well, in this process that we're presently in, the first thing was to get to the root cause. What was it that was causing the tension and the anxiety? Because often it's the anxiety of it that is manifesting in the brain, which then creates a tension within the body in certain parts of the body that causes the problem, whether it be no balls or wides or just not coming out very well or length or whatever the case may be. So that's the first thing. I mean, I say a lot on this show, it's important to get to the root cause, and we've taken a long time to do that, to get down to that, because you've got to hope that the player is honest enough or understanding enough of what they do to get to that point. But I'm working with quite a young player at the moment, and it's taken us a while to get to that point where we've got some clarity. Then the next stage really for us was to try out a few technical things to see if there was any way that we could help relieve that tension from a technical perspective, which there wasn't really, to be honest. So the next thing we did was bring in somebody at school, a sports psychologist that could do a little bit of work, and I actually consulted Dr. Steve Ball, who's one of the world's leading sports psychologists, to get some ideas from himself as well. And we're presently working through those, and a lot of the techniques that we're using, there's one of them, for example, is pretend you're bowling as if you are your hero or somebody that you think has a really good flow to their bowling. So that's one of the techniques that we're using. Another one is to sing in your head or to hum whilst you're doing something, which takes the distraction off of what you're doing and actually puts you in a place where you're singing your favourite song or visualising your favourite song being sung. And we're working through those, and we're making gradual progress. But as Stephen Finn has discovered, you know, it's not something that happens overnight, and he's had all the support in the world for him, and it's only you know, the sixth test match of the summer that they felt the confidence to be able to pick him inside. And I noticed that he's been very well handled by Middlesex, that they played him in relevant games and rested him in others that maybe was corresponding with him not feeling quite so good about himself, or a game where they felt that he was more vulnerable to get it wrong or to get whacked about. And I think the management of him has been absolutely brilliant from ECB and Middlesex.
Okay, well, good luck to Finn, good luck to your young player, and good luck to anyone listening to this, whether they're a coach or a player and they're involved in that kind of a situation. Right, let's finish this section with the yes-no round. Three questions that can only be answered yes or no to, no matter how much more that the team want to say. I'm in charge of the questions this week, so gentlemen, when you're ready, if you can give me your answer. First question, go with the flow.
Yes.
Yes.
Second question, 50 overs is better than 40.
Online.
Yes.
Yes.
Third question, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's head into the questions section now. We dip into the mailbag every week, pick out a couple of questions that have been sent in to the show by the listeners or the readers to the Pitch Vision Academy website. They've done that by emailing coach@pitchvision.com. or using one of the other methods that we'll tell you about at the end of the show. The best question of the week wins a prize, which is an online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And the first question this week has been sent in by James, and he'll be hoping for that coaching course to head his way. So let's have a listen to his question. James says, without taking up too much of your time with backstory, I'm 26 years old, a student, and an enthusiast of cricket. I've coached for my club since I was 18 and had great success with club cricket. I've taken up community work on behalf of my club to strengthen links with the community, and I'm hungry to work within cricket in a full-time role. The problem is that opportunities are few and far between, so it begs the question to look further afield. So, the question is, does a decent club cricketer, who is an even better coach, ECB level 2, with relevant experience, and who's gone above and beyond in his voluntary role out of love for the game, stand a chance of getting a full-time coaching job in any capacity across the expanding cricket world?
My first answer would be yes, actually. It's not an easy road. It's not something that will just fall on your doorstep. And sometimes it takes juggling a number of different roles and responsibilities, and possibly doing some work inside of cricket and outside of cricket at the same time, along the road to getting that full-time role. But ultimately, it will come down to if you want to be a full-time cricket coach, how good you are at coaching. And I think we're seeing more and more people having less necessity placed on their playing career at a professional level than in the past. So, and by the way, when I mean professional level, I'm not talking necessarily about first class or international cricket. Mm. I'm just talking about people who work and make a living out of coaching. There's no real requirement for you to be a test cricketer to go and make a reasonable income out of cricket coaching. I'd definitely suggest trying to spend as much time with your local county cricket club and cricket board as possible. So make it clear that this is what your objective is and make sure that they're aware of what you're trying to achieve so that when opportunities do come along, that they come to you and you're on their list of people who want to achieve things as a coach. Obviously, we're in a position where at Pitch Vision, we've got the job section in pitchvision.com/jobs, where all the coaching jobs, or as many as are feasibly found on the internet, are all located there. So I think there are currently about 23 or 24 cricket-related jobs online. So have a look through those and see if there's anything that comes up. Mm. But I think the one thing you have to look at first of all is where you think you fit in best. And for certain people, they'll fit in at different levels. And I think initially there's always a desire to want to go and fast-track your way to the top and find a spot potentially in first class or international cricket. But I think we have to accept that sometimes that is a very, very long road, and there's a lot of boxes that need ticking, and there's a lot of experience that needs gained before we can get there. So just think about where your entry point could be. So really simple thing that I say to people is have a look at all the jobs that are around. Have a look at all the ones that you think you could do. Check all the experiences that are required and work out what would suit you. After that, I think once you find yourself some form of full-time employment, or if you don't find yourself some form of employment, it's again progressing it from there. And if you find yourself in a job within a county board and you want to push on, and once you're in the system, it makes things a little bit easier. And I know that being on the outside can make it seem a little bit daunting and sometimes difficult to actually get that make that first step towards what you're trying to achieve. But once you are in there, you should find that you can move things forward quite quickly. In the meantime, if you don't find yourself able to establish a solid link with a county board or a county club, then your other option is setting up things privately and working as a private coach, and again trying to get the word out about your coaching experience and coaching abilities, and starting small and gradually building up, whether it's through watching or running your own cricket coaching courses, running a range of different things. You can be as trying to set things up privately, and that might be your stepping stone in the meantime to develop your own experience, give yourself more opportunity to learn how to speak to young people, speak to adults, develop a market yourself as a product, which you actually will be as a coach in the end. So yeah, there's a few ways to get yourself going, but I'd definitely say if it's something you want to do and you're really passionate about it, then definitely go and commit to it, and find your entry point into the world of coaching.
Coaching is one of those areas, isn't it, that more relies on the less formal routes. I mean, I think probably all jobs are like this nowadays, where it's, you know, the traditional way of getting a job is you see a job advertised, you apply for it, and you interview for it. And if you're the best candidate for the job, you get it. That's a certain way of getting a job. But I think with coaching, especially, that's probably one of the least likely ways that you're going to get a job. And you need to have built up a reputation and built up contacts and been able to provide evidence of your ability to do a good job in a lot of different circumstances. And that's where it can come into, you can come into your own, rather than just sort of being quite passive. It's about being quite active and looking for opportunities that may not necessarily make you very much money. They might even cost you money, but in the long run, it's going to give you more than if you just wait to see a job and apply for it and never get it.
Absolutely. I remember when I first started getting involved in the professional game in a very, very small capacity was probably about 12 years ago now, I think, from memory. 12 years ago, I'd say, something around there anyway. And all I did was I I rang up Tony Middleton, who's a fantastic coach at Hampshire, and he's currently the batting coach, and he's been there for years and years and years now. But I believe Gareth will confirm, but I believe he's quite heavily involved in the batting modules of the level 4 unit at the moment as well. And he will allow me just to shadow him and just like this is what I'm doing. This is how I work with people. This isn't right or wrong, but this is what I do that works. And I just went down and spent probably a dozen or so sessions just watching Tony, working with him, doing whatever was possible to expand my my bank of knowledge. And in doing that, I learned a few things which helped me. And then I went and looked at working with someone else, and then someone else. And I was lucky I got to work with Jeff Marsh, who was coach of Australia, for a season when I was out there playing and coaching, and then a few other people in New Zealand, and then a host of people around the country. I'm sure Gareth will be the same, that a lot of what he's done is just exposing himself to knowledge from other people. And you learn a lot of things on your own, but you can learn a lot just by listening and watching. So that's definitely one thing you do have to go along the route of is don't expect to be paid for everything you do. You almost think of it as a freebie. It's almost like a free lesson you receive from someone else.
Gareth, going back to the question, the type of player that we're talking about here, he's not been a professional, but he's really committed to cricket and he wants to make the step forward. Can he do it?
Well, the answer is yes, because there's some fantastic examples out there of case studies to follow. One of them I'm going to give you is somebody that Sam knows very well, actually, is a guy called Charlie Freeston that I played club cricket with on the Isle of Wight. Spent a lot of time around myself and my dad, learnt quite a lot from ourselves, and then made the journey over to Hampshire in order to stretch himself as a coach. Worked alongside Tony Middleton, just as Sam did. Didn't get paid for it, then started to do some small jobs at the club because Tony thought he was a good coach and he was somebody who was willing to learn. And has worked his way up and is now coaching the second team at Hampshire. So there's one example. The other example that I'll give is Paul Shaw, who's Ashes winning women's cricket coach. And Shawsy's somebody who's 40 years old. He's played club cricket for Barnsley Cricket Club, started coaching Barnsley Cricket Club, working with the girls, and this is another avenue. The girls' game is growing at a huge rate of knots. It's a market area that I think aspiring coaches can work in and make really rapid strides because the game's going in the right direction at women and girls level. So he got involved with that. Coach Catherine Brunt, who's one of England's fastest bowlers, probably is England's fastest bowler, and the rest is history. He started to work within the academy set up at Loughborough with the girls' teams and ended up becoming the women's coach full-time not too long ago. Taken it in Ashes, won that, been to World Cups. I think I came runners-up in the recent 2020 World Cup. But he's somebody who's a fantastic coach, didn't play any first-class cricket, and they have two great examples to follow. So I agree wholeheartedly with the informal route. I think the formal route generally looks after itself, but the informal route is classic. And the networking opportunities that you have, as well as the learning opportunities from putting yourself in a position where you're alongside some experienced coaches, is invaluable. And very quickly, if you're good and if you're taking on those messages, then you will end up where you're supposed to end up. And if you have a real aspiration and a goal towards it, then I see no reason why any coach who's level 2 and somebody who's played club cricket can't get a job in this ever-expanding job world that we live in within cricket.
There we are, James. So you've got some you've got some work to do. You can take some positive messages from that and put in some work, put in some effort, and maybe be ready for some letdowns as well as some successes. But go for it, I think. And you've got a couple of contacts on this show already, so there's a start for you. Let's move on to the next question. And it's from Sudhir, and it's a little bit shorter, but I thought we could discuss around the topic, as we often do with the shorter questions. And Sudhir says, "Sir, my age is 20, and I'm a good batsman. I want to join a cricket academy. Is there any age restriction?" So I'm thinking here that maybe we can think around the topic of somebody who is getting into the game later, and maybe has played not in a formal way, but has played cricket in informal ways, and now they're looking to head to the next level, which happens quite a lot in India, of course, doesn't it? Because there's so many players who play outside of a structured game and then want to move on to the next level at a later date. So what advice can we give Sudhir, Gerrard?
Well, it's to seek them out, because an academy means very many different things, as we well know. Academies, I reckon there's around 11,000 academies in India, so there won't be one too far away from me. I don't think age is an issue, particularly in India. I don't think age is an issue. And you've only got to look at somebody like MS Dhoni, who's now, you know, a captain that's lifted World Cups and is doing some great things. You know, he came from a tape ball background very late in his career to then play some cricket very quickly. And I think everybody was always looking for him to fail as he went up the levels. And as yet, he hasn't quite failed, has he? He's done everything absolutely brilliantly. So I think it's crucial that you firstly seek out what's around you locally, because, you know, the term academy can mean so many different things. And sort of in line with the last question, really, it's the same thing. It's how do I get myself up the ladder? The last question was about getting yourself up the ladder from a coaching perspective, and this one's about the player perspective. And it would be wrong of us to start to talk about your local environment and what's around you, because you'll have a lot more entrance into that environment than ourselves. But have a look at what's around, get involved in an academy, or start talking to your local association and get them to guide you a little bit. But ultimately, it's down to you to seek out your opportunities and take them. But I think in your neck of the woods, if I was 20 over here and I wasn't on the formal pathway, then it would probably be more difficult for me to make it into the level of cricket that I wanted to go into than yourselves. But use the local area as best you can, and I'm convinced that you'll give yourself the best opportunity.
Absolutely. It's about going and seeking opportunities to go and better yourself if you can do. But there's no reason why you can't look out there, and even if it's finding just a group of like-minded people online. I mean, with the internet these days, you don't necessarily need to have a structured coaching company or academy that's set up to work with you. You can go out and find, are there people near me who have the same aspirations, and we can work together as a group of players to get a little bit close to our target. And challenge ourselves on a regular basis and try and improve each other rather than entering into it on your own, which can be a long, slow journey if you're not sure which direction to look in.
I think the other thing to build on there, Sam, is to have a look at, and there will be academies around you over in India and or wherever you're situated, but also have a look at the ones that have got the best record of players going from that academy up into the next level of cricket, whatever it is, because those networks will already be established. And and you know, for the leader of that academy to make the phone call to the person at the state organisation or the local board will be a lot easier, because those networks have already been made. So do a bit of research. I think that's crucial. If you end up at the right academy with the right network links going forward, then that will only help you to accelerate your pathway up through the route to first class cricket.
It'd be interesting to find out the expectations of Sudhir as well, because that different people have different expectations from what they can achieve from going to an academy, or even, you know, how much it's going to cost them to go to an academy and things like that. So you've got to be realistic about how far you can travel, how much it's going to cost you, whether you are able to make the improvements that you want to make, because even the best academies can only do so much. You have to be able to do it yourself, don't you? I mean that's one of the key messages of this show that we talk about all the time, is that the player is in charge of things, really, and take control of your own fate, then the academy can help you along the way, but you have to be realistic, and you have to be the one who's driving things.
Yeah, it's the same message as we were giving to James, really, in terms of looking for a coaching role. If you want to go and make that next step and find that full-time job, then you're going to be the one who's driving it forwards, and you've got to be the one going out and seeking it. Same as Sudhir, you've got to be really committing to yourself, and there's no point having the aspirations. And I'll let Gareth finish the quote off. Gareth, what's your little quote?
It's behaviours and aspirations have to meet.
There you go. Behaviours and aspirations. So there's no point having the aspirations if your behaviours aren't gonna match up.
Okay. Let's know how you get on to it. Hopefully that you find an academy nearby you, and it can help you do the job for yourself.
Okay, so this week's soapbox is going to be David, and he's got 60 seconds, which he's going to hopefully ramble on with some insightful little facts about a subject that's been getting to him over the last 7 days.
Well, this is not one of mine. I was lucky enough this week to speak to a former international cricket who was telling me a little bit about some of the coaching that he does these days, and one of the ways that he sets up his coaching practice with players. So I thought I'd pass it on. And he was talking about being able to reinforce technique even when you're working with a player in decision-making type of practice. And what he said was he bowls six balls, uses the bowling machine or throw-downs, so six balls to help with the player's decision-making. And then he goes to do some technical drills for about the length of another over, and then goes back to another six balls of doing decision-making work. So the aim is to make sure that the player doesn't miss the chance to be able to score, so they can make the right decision and they can use the correct technique, working together to do all those things in one session. And I thought that was quite clever and a nice little variation and a good way to do things. And it's coming from a top level player, so I thought it'd be nice to pass that on. And that is just about all we got time for on the show this week. There is a thing that we need to do before we go, as we do every week, which is decide on the winner of the prize, which is the online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. We had James's question about taking up a career as a cricket coach, and Sudhir's question about getting into a cricket academy even at a slightly older age. Which one did you prefer this week, Aris?
Well, as a coach developer, I think it would be wrong of me not to go with James this week. I thought it was a great question. Hopefully we provided some inspiration and also a bit of a pathway for him to follow, and many others that may be listening to the show as he goes up that pathway and gets the role that he wants.
Congratulations to you, James. Plenty of knowledge type stuff available to you in the Pitch Vision Academy online coaching section. So have a look there, pick up some more knowledge as you head through your career as a coach. Now, Gareth, if somebody wanted to send in their question to the show, and they were listening now and they were thinking, you know what, I fancy that prize, I fancy getting that question answered, what would they need to do?
Well, they could give us a call on 0203 239 7543 or drop us an email at coach@pitchvision.com.
That's right. There is also the Twitter at Pitch Vision Acad, and the Facebook, facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy. You can send in questions in those ways. You can listen to the show every week if you want to. You can subscribe to the show in pretty much any pod-catching program that you can possibly think of. Most people use iTunes, and you can just do a search for us in iTunes or the podcast player on your iPhone or your iPad to find us in there. And if you want to use something else, there's plenty of other podcatching options where you can do a search in that app or program to find us. Or there is the good old RSS feed, which if you want to use that in some weird and wonderful podcatching program, just go to pitchvision.com/academy and click on the podcast link for the instructions on how to use that if you're a little bit more of a techie sort. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week, but until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavers.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, lads. I'm off for a pin.